Hello, good morning. A lot to talk about. And I'll tell you, the Niger Delta, many would say, is or will largely play an important role in the coming elections. But that's not all. The resources that comes with the region has made for conversations in recent times. In fact, over the years, many would say the wealth that feeds the nation comes from this region. Hence, this region needs to be, should be, well developed. Is that the case? I'll leave you to answer that. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. This morning, we heard a couple of weeks ago that contract for pipeline protection was awarded to a former Niger Delta agitator, Tompolo, Ekpemupolo. Many know him as, or you know him as government, Ekpemupolo, popularly Tompolo. And there's been different reactions from different corners concerning that particular contract. We've had people from the civilian JTF speak. We've had leaders. I listened to Tompolo speaking when he spoke with some traditional rulers and was trying to talk about how he was going to handle this and ensure that communities, you know, get what they deserve as oil-producing communities in the midst of all of this. If there's that conversation now, there is also the talks of where does our 13% derivation go? All of this oil, all of these monies, what are we doing with it? In fact, on the show, I remember somebody asking me yesterday, what is happening in our communities? These monies that's coming out, why are we not seeing the development that we need to see? There's also the talks of the position of the Niger Delta ahead of 2023. Well, we'll be discussing all of this morning, and my guest is no other than High Chief Anabs Saraigbe, National Coordinator of South-South Elders Forum and the Chieftain of Pandev as well. You're welcome. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We just cut to the chase and go straight to the point. I'd like us to start off with what's most burning at the moment and what has been causing a lot of conversation from different corners. Before I do that, I'd like you to listen to this, because we have some people who are not satisfied with the award of that contract to Tompolo. One of them would be the civilian JTF, who said that they have been actively involved in protecting pipelines over the years in the Niger Delta region, fighting anti-illegal bunkering activities as well, and feel like perhaps they should be carried along or should be adequately funded, or work with whoever has the contracts to see that more is done. We'll get your thoughts quickly, but first, this was what the national chairman, national coordinator, civilian JTF, Wanchukwu Adah, had to say.
Brothers, but the truth of the matter is that if a surveillance contract has been given to one of us in Niger Delta, we don't have problem with that. But we pray that the right thing should be done. There are oil host community members, there are security, especially security, local security outfits that have been supporting, playing major role, the lead role to put a stop to illegal bunkering activities. I will advise Tompolo, General Tompolo, to look at this perspective and not to run it like his own personal business. If he can do the right thing by selecting those of us or those of them who has been doing these anti-bunkering activities, I'm sure even the financial aspect of it will be distributed accordingly. Other sectors be recognized. You shouldn't be run as my man in the system. You should be run and be run like a contract given to Niger Delta. No outfit, no security company can tell me he has fought anti-bunkering war like civilian JTF in the River State, like me and my men. The multinational who assisted them for so many years, we have evidence. He should be.
So the conversation has been from some people who are not really happy with this contract. It has been one man for the Niger Delta wouldn't really work. Why aren't we having people from other parts of the Niger Delta involved in this? And that's what the civilian JTF coordinator has said. What's your position on this? So how do you see this? What does this mean for the Niger Delta, that contract?
Well, thank you very much. First of all, the people of Niger Delta, particularly Rivers people, are mourning one of our great men, Alabo T.O. Graham Douglas. We are mourning his passage, and as we prepare for his interment, we believe God will bring somebody to replace him in the Niger Delta struggle. Now I come back to the point. Like I had always said, there is nothing wrong in government appointing anybody to ensure that the pipeline is free from encumbrance, thereby polluting, stop the pollution of oil and oil within the Niger Delta. There's nothing wrong in it, but the process is what is wrong. Niger Delta is a very complex region with different languages, different tribe, different ethnic group. And so when you are dealing with them, it's like you are dealing with Nigeria. Tompolo is a very known leader. The contract was awarded to him by the previous administration. And when this government came, they stopped it and also declared they wanted at the time.
Mm.
But today they have given him the contract and nobody is complaining. But the only issue is Niger Delta has a process. If you recall in 2016 when Avengers came out to say no to oil production, the leadership of Niger Delta came together and formed what we call PANDEF, the Pan-Niger Delta Forum. But before PANDEF, there was the Niger Delta Dialogue. The Niger Delta Dialogue was led by King Alfred Yetespif with Judith and Suni and some of us. And we tried as much as possible to make sure there was peace.
Mm.
And PANDEF was formed and we met with government. We met with government in November 2016 and they presented a 16-point agenda. The government was only able to do one or one and a half. The rest is history.
And which was that one?
The one is the Maritime University of Kerekoko.
Okay.
Now, there is serious oil theft. And we know that the security agencies were entrusted with the protection of pipelines. We have the Navy, we have the JTF, we have the National Civil Defense. And all of them could not arrest the theft. And it escalates every other day. To an extent that Nigeria cannot meet OPEC quotas.
Yes.
And we are losing money.
Is that why the government has seen the need to...
I'll give you the background.
Okay.
So when government now realize that they are losing about 1 million barrels of crude oil per day, it becomes a problem. So they have to go back. But I expected the Minister of Petroleum, Minister of State, Petroleum, who is a countryman, to do the right thing by first getting involved everybody. When I mean everybody, we have PANDEF, we have the elders, we have the Amnesty Office, and we have the warlords. The Amnesty Office would have been involved because they can be able to coordinate. They have a crucial contract with most of the militants, and they are paying them stipends, and they are paying also giving their leaders some specific amount.
Mm-hmm.
So Amnesty Office would have been the best place to say, look, we gave you responsibility, you're not doing this, how do you go about it? The Amnesty Office would have been able to gather everybody and discuss. That's supposed to be a workshop. This is a disaster. It affects the region. Our rivers are polluted. Our farmlands are polluted. These bunkers will just go and collect oil, and they could not close back the valve or the pipeline. And this, the remnants, please spill into the river, thereby destroying the ecosystem, destroying our environment and everything.
Mm.
So what they would have done is, let us look at this issue. Federal government is losing money. The region, the local region communities are also affected by the pollution. So what is the solution? That meeting, that workshop, that conference would have been able to come with an idea. To say, okay, make us the surveillance of this pipeline. Don't forget we have the PIA, which said the communities should be held responsible, which we are fighting. Mm-hmm. The communities cannot be held responsible because you don't give them surveillance contract. You have an agreement that you are going to develop them, which you have not done. So you don't expect community to go in. Mm-hmm. And I want to also emphasize here that bunkering is like a drug cartel. The bunkering, the oil pipe theft, and so on in Niger Delta is akin to the cartel of drugs. It's not done by one person. If the security agencies are not compromised, at least they can station somewhere the major rivers and be able to check those who are getting this. So since they cannot do it and they want to give it to us,
yes,
it's a good development. Tompolo is a good man. Everybody likes him. Niger Delta. We had to play, after Sari was detained, he played a major role.
So why didn't the government see this at the beginning? And what should have, what would have informed the decision of the government now? Because, like we said, the past administration had handed this contract to ex-agitators to handle. And at the time, many would say relatively there was peace within the region. And then this administration came and took that away. And then we had law enforcement agencies involved in the activities, more specifically the JTF. In some cases, we even have Navy and military involved. And then many also are saying, that is this because of the elections coming, and is this a tactics by the government to ensure calm in the region? And the monies that's been used to fund military security operatives to ensure that these pipelines are saved, secured, what happens to those? So many questions coming from different corners, especially you took this away before. Why are you bringing it back now?
Well, you see, when this government came in, all they do was to discredit the other government. They came and called the former government all kinds of names and make people believe that they are evil.
Mm-hmm.
So anything associated with that was cancelled. But today, they are seeing the effect because they felt Niger Delta is conquered. And one very important thing that you don't realize, presently, Nigeria is in a crossroad. Nigeria is sitting on a keg of gunpowder. The only region that is peaceful is the Niger Delta region. And this is the region that they refuse to assist. They refuse government. You can imagine, former President Obasanjo will knock table and said, Oyo does not belong to Niger Delta. Oyo belongs to Nigeria. The stupid northerners will come and say, oh,
we shouldn't call them stupid.
I'm not saying northerners, they're stupid northerners, not all. Uh-huh. There are people who are reasonable and there are people who are stupid. The stupid type in the north will come and tell us, Oyo belongs to the north, Oyo belongs to them. And this can aggravate the situation, can make people angry. Don't forget how did the oil pipeline started. Abacha came and the 2 billion march, and he told them, oh, Niger Deltans, your development is the pipeline. And when the youth saw that Abuja is being developed and there's nothing to show for it, then they came back and said, if our development is the pipeline, let us break the pipeline and see what is development. And behold, they saw the black gold. And that is how it started. So it has been taken over by cartel, very powerful Nigerians. And even the local community, there are some communities where they have to pay some persons 2.5 million a day. Some pay 250,000 per boat or per barge that loads. And so it's becoming something that people are becoming interested.
So it's difficult to stop now.
It's a bit difficult because they are beginning to see what they can make every day. If somebody is making 2.5 million a day, it will allow you to stay so long as it's making that money.
But you feel this contract to Tompolo now would reduce or stop that?
No. The way it goes, I'm afraid, because it might even escalate the crisis in the Niger Delta.
Oh.
Except it's not too late. Except the government will quickly make a summit of the Niger Deltans and discuss this matter. Let the people key into it. Let the villages key into it.
Mm.
Let the youth key into it. Let the militants key into it. Because the way they are managing the Niger Delta is not fair. They brought amnesty and made people believe that if you don't carry gun, then you could not benefit. Only those who carry gun will get 65,000 stipend every month. So it encouraged others who have not been carrying gun to carry gun. And so this will continue. And Niger Delta, from the history, before the advent of colonial masters, we had so many countries within the Niger Delta, which were all amalgamated to become Southern Nigeria. So this life of war has been the character of the Niger Delta. And they don't forget, when the British and the Portuguese came,
yes,
they also met the Niger Deltans and started trade with them.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that they have been on. So that is in the blood of the Niger Delta. Our bloods are very hot. So if you want to stop this, there need to be a dialogue. There need to be communication. There need to be discussion. Tompolo alone cannot stop it. And let me tell you, the pipeline in question that they are awarding, that is provoking everybody, is between Bayelsa and River State. And in River State, we have the Orashi. Orashi mm-hmm. region, the Awoda people, and so on, the Abaigwe Mahendone, all those groups, some of their oil from Ajib goes straight to Brass. And some move to Boni. The Ogoni oil, although it's locked, also moves to Boni. So this pipeline that they are asked to run is not in Delta State. The Delta pipelines goes to Escravos, Pennington, Fakados, and so on.
Because we have some people, okay, yes, we have some masked militants from Rivers State who were complaining about the surveillance contract. And then we have stakeholders from Urobo host communities to Fakados pipeline, like you mentioned. We've also asked the federal government and the NNPC Limited to review and award the pipeline surveillance to an Urobo section.
So, like I was saying, you see, it's a complex place.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to award contract from Bayelsa Rivers,
yes,
you need to call people like Asare Dokubo, you need to call at King Ateketom, you need to call Boy Loof, this Kwabare from Ogoni, some other warlords are there, like the Don Pedro Christian, Don Pedro Kenneth, Farah, all these people need to sit down and say, hey, we can be able to control our boys. Well, they know the boys and they know what happened. Because bunkering is a very delicate thing to stop. Just recently, about a few months ago, a king in Bayelsa was abducted for refusing them to do go fire. All right?
Mm.
And it's not only in Bayelsa, all over the place. Recently, the chairman of Dabisa Council of Chiefs was also kidnapped. Maybe because he refused to compromise. So these are some of the problems. So if you want to stop it, fine. The dog can stop the dog. But you must do it in a way that everybody is carried along and everybody sees to be important. If you don't do that and you feel, oh, nothing will happen against Tompolo. Tompolo is one man. And Tompolo dominance is more in Delta State.
Mm-hmm.
Not this area where they have other warlords that can challenge him. Not okay. Because of what they will gain, but because they feel slighted. But if everybody is communicated, everybody is called on board, it will go a long way and say, look, we are doing this, how we want to go about it. Tompolo may try his best.
Because he says he's going to try and collaborate with everybody.
Tompolo may be communicating and trying his best, but when somebody feels slighted, even if you call him, they may not come up with a heart. Because people want to be involved, people want to be recognized. And sometimes some of these people who are going to talk, they don't need the money, they just want that recognition. Then communities that are suffering, you don't care. You don't care how they feel.
Yes.
So the oil companies are also divesting, putting fears within the Niger Delta. So people want to make as much money as they want to make.
Mm.
But with dialogue, we can be able to resolve it.
All right. Well said, sir. But we'll go on a short commercial in the next few minutes. Before we do so, remember we are live on Facebook, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook Live. You can ask your questions. My guest is High Chief Anab Saraigbe, National Coordinator of South Elders Forum and the Chieftain of Pandev. We've been looking at the recently awarded pipeline protection contract to Ekpemopolo government, you know him as Tompolo, and what it could mean for the Niger Delta region if it would solve the problem of oil theft and reduce the act of illegal oil bunkering. We've also heard about some groups who are not happy with the contract. One you heard was the national coordinator of the civilian JTF, Ada, who has said, well, would encourage him to work with everybody who has been fighting this fight individually to see that we achieve that result that we are looking for. Drop your questions. WhatsApp 0809 030 6416. 0809 0302-030-6416 on Facebook Live, Nigeria Info PH. As soon as we return from this break, the question, the conversation continues, and we're looking at now the role of the Niger Delta in the political space. If you hear, River State Governor has said time is without number, that River State, Niger Delta needs to be respected. He was speaking to his party. Whether that involves every other politician up north, we'll find out when we return. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The conversation continues here at 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. My guest, High Chief Anabs Saraigbe, National Coordinator of South-South Elders Forum and a Chieftain of Pandef. You've been hearing and how the whole process should be carried out, or should have been carried out, with regards to the pipeline protection contract that was awarded to Tampolo, and the conversations around it. We've had various groups resisting that contract and saying it should not have been done in the way that it was carried out. What it means for the Niger Delta region, how it affects activities, does it really tackle the problem of illegal oil bunkering? Does it tackle the problem of oil theft? We'll find out in the coming days. To my guests, my next question before we go further to some more issues on the local scene. Meanwhile, we're live on Facebook, so you can watch us live. If you are listening, you can watch and listen live on Facebook, Nigeria Info PH. That's where you listen, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook. And then there's a post also on Twitter. We're asking whether or not on Facebook, ex-agitators can, if given the contract to handle pipeline protection, help address the problem of illegal oil bunkering. Would it reduce, solve the problem? Would it tackle that problem? Let us know what your thoughts are on Facebook Live. So drop your comments, Nigeria Info PH. Niger Delta leaders, traditional leaders now, how or what can they do in this, in the region now, to ensure that this doesn't break out? Because if everybody's not carried along, it means that there are some people who feel slighted, and these people would might need to speak up at one point. And if that is the case, although we pray not for it to happen, we might see some level of unrest. Is this something that leaders within the region are foreseen and are taking proactive steps to address, perhaps to get every party involved to come together and look into the situation?
Thank you. The people of Niger Delta are worried, because what is playing out, if it's not properly handled, might cause more problems for both the people and the government. But don't also forget, the Niger Delta oil-bearing communities are not also happy with the government of their state.
Mm.
For instance, the 13% derivation is meant to cushion the effect of oil production in the area. And yet the government collects this money without developing the oil-bearing communities. And the oil-bearing communities are living in squalor to today. There are some communities, no school, no electricity, no water, no jetty, no road, nothing the government is doing for them, despite the fact that the governors collect 13% derivation, which amount to billions of money, naira, in addition to the statutory allocation. And that gives them jumbo allocation. And yet, the oil-bearing communities are not seeing anything.
Why is that so?
The government are just taking the money as if it's their personal money, because the constitutional provisions empower them to take it. And that is one of the reasons, grudges of the oil-bearing communities. Let me give you River State, for instance. The East-West Road is blocked.
Mm.
And that is where most of the revenue is coming from. That's where we have the refineries. That is where we have the petrochemical. That is where we have the port. That is where we have the free zone. We have some other industries within that area. Yet, the East-West Road is blocked. some time ago, they contributed money and gave to the governor to be able to put patch the road.
The governor, who contributed?
The companies, the refineries and others. The government also received money recently from the federal government for the money they spend in building federal roads. Why can't the government pay attention to this part of the East West Road, knowing that the communities in the East West Road are seriously affected? Or alternatively, create an additional road. There was a road that's supposed to build for Abloma Axis or Elelewa Axis to the refinery side. That would have been another way out for people to divert the East West Road crisis. Or alternatively, you build another road from Borokiri to Okrika. But they are not doing that. These are oil-bearing communities, the Ogonis are oil-bearing communities, but government is not thinking of that. Look at the other oil-bearing communities, Andoni, the southeast, the Iriti Road, Odile started. So up to today, it's not completed. We have the Andoni people who are producing a lot of oil. We have the Pupu and Kro people. They are not done. The Kalabari area is even worse. Nothing is going on. They play politics with them. The Trans-Kalabari Road is a story. We hear story, and it's a story. The only road linking the Kalabari, which Graham Douglas brought, Ebowa to the Kalabari, the three Kalabari local government, that road is deplorable
at the moment.
Yes, there has been a deplorable condition, and kidnapping has been taking place because of the passports. And yet, government is not doing anything. They will say it's federal road, but somebody spent federal money, state money, to build federal roads, and you collected the money.
But the flyovers that has been built on Abar Road
are federal road. We hear of building flyovers. Fine, flyovers will reduce traffic, agreed. But some of these flyovers, traders cannot pass under it. So it's a big problem. And at what cost? Rivers are supposed to know. You are awarding contract for flyovers in your local government only, Obiakpo only, not even in Port Harcourt. I've not seen any flyover in Port Harcourt local government. The flyovers are in Obiakpo local government, no problem. But at what cost? How much are you giving this contract? Did you bid? Was there a due process? No due process, nobody knew. Or is it part of the budget? We don't even see the budget. We don't know the budget of River State. So all kind of things. And people spend money buying the yellow Port Harcourt, the governor, for that matter, yet the oil-bearing communities are in squalors. So how will the people be happy to say, oh, we are going to fight for government? Like I said, the chairman of Abisak Council of Chiefs was kicked out. He's been kicked out for about 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking. So if somebody is down there as a community and they are doing bunkering, yes, it affects the community. The pollution affects us. But what is the business of the communities? So for government to do something for us to get peace in the Niger Delta, they must do what is right. They must have equity. They must do what is fair.
What would you consider fair and right in this situation?
The money is meant for oil-bearing communities. So develop the oil-bearing communities. And that will give them the reason to protect the pipelines. That will be a reason for them to raise alarm. That will be a reason to say, no, we would agree. Because we are benefiting from this oil that is being produced. But today, the oil-bearing communities don't benefit in any way.
I want to bring something to your attention. You mentioned the fact that the pipeline even talked about here is between Bayelsa and River State.
Yes.
Many have said that River State is not attracting as much federal attention as it should, and some people are saying it's down to perhaps how the government of the day in the state is conducting its activities. And when you look at the conversation that's been had and the meetings being held over this contract, many, from what I observed, how many prominent Rivers traditional rulers or Bayelsa traditional rulers were found in those meetings? I almost would say I didn't see any. What does this mean? Is it that more needs to be done because the elections are around the corner and some people already are saying this has a lot of political undertone to it?
I don't think it's political undertone only, because we're talking about government losing. Look at the price of oil. Oil is over $100 per barrel. And you are losing over 1 million barrel per day.
A day.
That means you are losing over 100 and something million dollars every day. Mm. And without money, there will be no economy. Without money, government cannot function. Without money, there will be no security. So government needs money to work. But are they doing it the right way? The mind is not always right. If we want to use the mind, it fails. Now the security agencies have failed us, not only in the Niger Delta, even in Nigeria as a whole.
Mm.
The Boko Haram issue has been persistent. The banditry has been there. Kidnapping has been there. Now you want to couple it with the bunkering. It means Nigeria is not secured at all. So government will try its best to see, let us protect the revenue. And that's what they are trying to do. But they are not thinking...
But protecting the revenue isn't solving the problem.
Yes, that's what they are trying to do now without thinking of the consequences of their actions. Can these actions we are doing solve the problem? That's what I think they should be concerned with. If they had called a meeting, people would bring opinions or ideas would be brought out. But then they will still be asking these questions about how are we going to benefit as communities when the governors are not developing the oil-bearing communities. In some states, they set up like the Delta, the Sopadek.
The Sopadek, yes.
And Edo also have similar.
Yeah.
Some other states do. But River State, they will say everybody's producing oil, and so they will not do it. And what they do is to take the money to develop where they want to develop. It's not only the governor. The NDTC is also culpable.
Mm.
The NDTC is not also developing the oil-bearing communities because the people who are there are not from the oil-bearing communities.
The accusations has been the NDTC has been used as a conduit pipe for campaigns and elections.
That is why we have been insisting that they should publish the forensic audit. Some of us have been tagged as if we are anti-Niger Delta because we are saying, let us see how the NDTC money was spent.
Mm.
The forensic audit should be able to tell us they spent so much money, year time, and 6 months to 1 year, and thereafter to 2 years, to get the forensic audit. The forensic audit is out. Let us know the details. But unfortunately, who heads the NDDC? It's the Niger Delta people. Who are the governors? They're the Niger Delta people. I can tell you the amount of money Niger Delta have received for oil deprivation, for derivation of oil fund that's supposed to go to the various communities, is more than what they used to build Dubai.
But if this is the case, why do we hear some governors within the region always saying, oh, the federal government isn't respecting, or the government does not respect the River State or the Niger Delta, if we have our own sons in positions where they are supposed to do the right thing and then we're not getting the dividends that we ought to get? Who exactly then should we say is the problem?
The problem of the Niger Delta, I will always say, and I've always been saying, is the Niger Delta themselves. When our sons and daughters are given appointment at the federal level, they forget that they are from Niger Delta. They dance to please the man that appoints them. I'll give you an example. All the ports in the Niger Delta are dead. Nothing is happening. Whereas Lagos is building new ports, Lagos is congested, and things are going. When the ports are working, it creates employment. As a young man, Before I finished secondary school, my holiday job was in the port. Okay, I spent 20 years in the shipping industry, from the least, that's a low old worker, to tank cleaner, to the managing director of a shipping company, before I left the industry, because there were vessels here. So if you don't give opportunity to young people to have employment, the old people are not even employed, are you killing the economy? And who was the head of it? Niger Delta. Now, Niger Delta is the only region where we fight after election. The West don't do that. The West, as soon as the elections are over, they all come together. They collapse themselves and think of how to develop the West. Go to Lagos and see the massive development that is going on in terms of road infrastructure, in terms of the railway. They're borrowing money to build railway to Niger from the oil money. Oil money was used as a guarantee. The sovereign guarantees from the oil money. And yet, we don't have any railway in the Niger Delta. Even the only one that Obasanjo government started to lift iron ore from Itakpe to Warri cannot be extended to Abuja. So you can see that our people who are when they are in government, they are not doing well.
Mm.
The governors are not also doing well because they believe there's an opportunity, they want to use the money to cow. Look at River State. The governor is interested in cowing everybody. He's not interested in developing River State. Today he's talking about
many would argue that he would say the flyovers, 11,
the flyovers 12, are where? How much oil is Zobiakpo producing? Yes, we most of us live in Obiakpo or Port Harcourt. Why must it be only Obiakpo? Look at the Che Road. As significant as Oteo Che Road that can take us to Imo State.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on there? Nothing. Look at Tumbia, Roy Producing Community to Obakre. Less than 1 kilometer or 2 kilometers, you cross a flyover, and the people can be both, the place can be motorable. From Tumbia, you go to Bukuma, and from there, you can go to Bakana. Nothing is happening. You refuse to do it, and yet you are building more and more flyover in Obiakpo. Is that what you call development? No, nothing think of employment. No revenue generation. No industry is coming here. Lagos and River State, we are apart.
The governor also said tertiary institutions with the campuses is, he has ordered employment into the various state-owned institutions.
Let me say yes.
And he says that's employment as well.
Let us say tertiary institutions are here. But look at Delta State. Delta State has several cities. Besides Asaba, you have Warri, it's a big city. Ugele is a big city.
Sapele
is a big city. Hole is a big city. Agbo is a big city. And how? You move some of these universities or institutions to places as to develop those places. In River State, look at Obmaku, was growing. Is it still growing? No. As a partner as Bonny, what is the government doing? Cannot even support the linkage of Bonny to the to Port Harcourt. What are we doing? We are not thinking of developing a Bori. Why can't we set some industries there or some things there? What happens to Awuda? What happens to Degema?
Hi, Chief. Time would not let us. I wish we could take a lot more, because this is, like we've said earlier, the conversation really demands a lot of time, and we haven't attended to some of the messages that we have on our Facebook Live. So I'll just take a few of them here. On Facebook Live, Nigeria Info PH, Victorious Victor Tam says, morning. I think this contract should have passed through the NDDC, through each host communities or oil producing pipeline areas. Tamono Tonye says, good morning, Hi, Chief. The best way to go about this issue is for Tampolo to recognize and bring on board other agitators and warlords in that contract. It should also do the needful by meeting host communities to have better conversations. Ned Aguma says, who should be given the job of protecting the pipelines, if not the major host, which is the Niger Deltans? It's unfortunate that some persons are kicking against it. Do they know the negative impact of this illegal activities to people of the region? That's from Ned Aguma. On Facebook, a few messages. This person here says, on WhatsApp, I beg your pardon, good morning. Honestly, Nigeria is not a sincere country. People that were supposed to be in prison are given billions of naira, as such, encouraging the youths to tilt towards carrying guns. In my streets, at Tumboba, there's also a major dealer that have arrested several times by the police. They will pay the police and start again. This kind of country, Tayami Samuel sent in that message on WhatsApp. This one says, Ifeemi, good morning. The government is supposed to give the contract to host communities. Reported a case of serious oil bunkering to a security agency, and instead of stopping it, they gave them information and also warned them. The governor is not doing anything in oil producing areas. The governor of the governors of Niger Delta are looting instead of developing their areas. The governors are our problem. This one says, these people should say it without equivocation. Yes, I must say it. Chief Saraigbe is a well-respected personality we all hold in high rapture, but there's a missing gap in all the presentation is made regarding people to join forces concerning the pipeline surveillance contract. Our people where the oil is being drilled are left out. He has a section that covers Rumekpe, Egbeda, Omudioga, Ogba Egbe, Mahohaji area, Omeche, Miguta section, where these oil pipelines flow from are left and are not mentioned, were not mentioned by him. Well, maybe that's because we don't have a lot of time to do all of the conversations and mention every area that you want to hear. Here, these people should also not be left out of the surveillance. It should be holistic. I will see if I can take one call at most before we go wrap things up. 0817-923-0002. This one says, good morning. I'd like your guest to clarify what he thinks it's, why he thinks it's only criminals that can protect pipelines. And he has not made mention of functions of any of the constituted security agencies regarding the pipeline protection. In the next 1 minute, can you respond to this?
Well, let me first start. So it's the one that said, oh, they should pass through NDDC. NDDC has failed the region, so there's no point going through NDDC.
Mm.
Instead of NDDC, like I said, they should go through the amnesty office. Two, the government is taking this route because they believe that for you to fight crime of this magnitude, you must also need a criminal to be involved. It's all over the world. That is how security operates.
Mm.
So getting the militants, because they have gone. Those who are also taking the oil also have gone. And so if you don't bring those people, these people who are leaking the oil will also bring out money to protect their business. So they need fire to fire to secure it. Security agencies, like I've said, have failed. They have failed in the sense that if they want to stop this, they can stop it. They have the naval, we have the JTF, and we have the civil defense. If they want to stop it, there's no way they can pass with it through the rivers or through the roads. They can be able to protect all that. So government is trying to look for a new way, but they're not doing it in the right way. The man who said I did not mention Orasi, I mentioned Orasi here before.
Mm-hmm.
I may not say give it to anybody in Orasi. Orasi warlords have been killed by one way or the other, by security agencies and so on. So what you're saying is, even giving to the militant is not the end. Okay. The security must be the checkpoint.
All right, Hi Chief. Time will not let us. We have to wrap things up. Thank you very much, my guest.
We still have 5 minutes.
Hi Chief Anaf Saraigbe.
We still have 5 minutes.
There's a commercial we have to go for. And that commercial will take our time. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Jude comes in next.